Give him all the praise. Give glory to God. Give him all the glory, saints. Give glory to God. Come on, let me hear you say, glory, hallelujah. Come on, give him the praise he deserves. Come on, let me hear you. Glory, hallelujah. Give glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Come on, put your hands together. As our deacon and trustees come to lead us in devotion. In devotion afterwards, we will have a short testimonial period, about 15 minutes. And after the testimonial period, we'll have songs by Missionary Union Praise Team. And then afterwards, I will be back before you.
Say good evening, saints. Ladies and gentlemen, dude and dudesses, God has blessed us to be here yet another day. And we're about to go from 2023 over to 2024. And it's just a blessing just to be here. Amen? Now, Rem already warmed up those voices, so I know y'all already sing now. So, y'all join in with me. We're going to sing. I love to praise his name. Hallelujah. I love to praise him, yeah. I love to praise him. I love to praise him, yeah.
I love to praise him.
I love to praise him.
Let's note our scripture coming out of Jeremiah 29th chapter, 11th and 12th verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Our scripture reading coming out of Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12 verses. May the Lord have a reason to the blessing to the reading of the word for the good of the people. Thank you.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, or wherever shall I go? Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Father, it's again that a few your humble servants, while we bow down here this evening, Father, we didn't bow for no shape, form, or fashion. Didn't even bow for an outside show. Lord, for this old unfriendly world. But we just bowed down this evening, Lord, to turn thee some obedient thanks, Father, for the many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Why, we thank you, Lord, for our laying down last night. Even thank you, Master, for that guardian angel stood by our bedside all night long, kept watch over these little heartbeats of ours. And Lord, early this morning, we're so thankful you touched us with a finger of love. Woke us up on due time. And Lord, when we rose this morning, we're so thankful, Master. We had the activities of our limb. We was able to clothe ourselves, and we were still in our right mind. Yes. Father, we was able to go down to your breakfast table, and you had blessed us with food to eat. Some said, I thank you, Father, and some never said a mumbling word. But we come this evening, Father, just to tell you, Father, we thank you, because, Father, we realize that you got all power in your hand. We're realizing, Father, you can destroy, but you will defend. And we come, Father, thanking you, Master, for, Lord, watching over us as we came over the dangerous highway. Father, came out just to praise your holy name this evening. Father, we came to give you the honor and the glory. For Father, it was you, Father, allowed us, Father, to come out to the house of worship this evening. We thank you, Master, for watching over us, Father, from all the way from January 1st, 2023 up until this present time. Lord, we realize, and Father, you didn't have to do it, but you did. We realize, and Master, if justice had a plumb the line, Lord, we'd have been gone on a long time ago. But you look beyond our fault, light our golden moment to roll on a little further. And all I want to tell you this evening is just thank you, Master. Thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you. And Father, we ask you, Father, forgive us for our many sins. Cast them in the sea of forgiveness. Father, we pray that they never rise anymore. And Lord, we realize it. One day this walk of life is going to be over with. And we're going to have to go in our dying room to come out anymore. We just ask you, Father, just meet us in our dying hour. Well, we can cross Jordan at a calm time. He's blessing another. We ask in your holy name, and we do pray. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
I'm satisfied with Jesus.
I'm satisfied with Jesus.
Well,
I'm satisfied with Jesus in my heart.
Just good, isn't he? I'm satisfied with it. This ends our devotion. We're going to turn your hands over to our pastor, Reverend Rogers.
Amen. 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 It's testimonial time. We have about 15 minutes total time for testimonials. Not one person, but all together. Amen. Somebody ought to tell it.
I gotta tell it. God is good. I remember in 2021, I stood here, and at the time I was commuting. I was still working at the post office in Mississippi. And I remember 2021, December 31st, I stood here, and the camera, all I could, the only person I could see on the camera was Tanya. I could see her face. And I made a declaration that I said, this is going to be my last year. This is going to be the last year I'm going to have to commute. God is going to bless me with a job in Alabama. God has done exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ask or think. I just rose to say that I trusted him in the process. There were many days, you ought to know, when you're with your husband all the time, you never spend any nights away from, barely spend any nights away from him. You just used to being with your husband every night. It's hard when you have to leave and leave your husband. There were many, many days I left here crying because I had to leave my husband. I was so used to being with him, and sometimes I felt like, Lord, when is this going to end? Lord, what? I was like, Lord, what? But I just continued to trust him, and I went before the people of God and asked for prayer. You all prayed for me. Some of you got in there. Y'all put your hands in and did what you needed to do to make sure I got where I needed to be. Thank God. I want to say, though, God blessed me exceedingly with a job from, I was the mail carrier. So, you know, rain, sleet, or snow, the mail got to go. That's our motto. So, and I did that for 24 years. Delivering mail, delivering packages, in the rain, in the snow, sometimes having a flat, my husband had to come get me. Sometimes it was so hot, but I loved my job because I love people. So it didn't make my job hard. And then, of course, I had a Superman. If I needed anything, he came right on to help me out. So God is just awesome. And I want to say that he blessed me with my job in 2023. I was blessed with the job. I have flex, what y'all call over here, flex time. God is good. See, I had to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't get off until I finished my route. Sometimes in this season, it will be 7 o'clock at night, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, dark, but I love my job. Anyway, I want to say that God blessed me with a job. I work for Social Security, and I work in Trustful in a small field office. I love the people there. I love my job. Thank God for good people. And I got flex time. I can be at work between 7 and 9 in the morning, and I can get off anywhere from 3:30 to 5:30. And I have been there 1 year. I made my year December 22nd. God is amazing. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And I was able to get, we were able to get Trinity in a daycare. Sister Nicole got in there and did what she needed to do to help us get her in daycare because we didn't know anybody and how we were going to get in daycare. But in the meantime, she kept her every day for us. She kept her at her house every day for us, and she never missed a beat. She made sure she was on course with her educational skills. Everything that she needed, she did it for us. And I thank God for putting people in our path. I thank God for blessing me with a praying church family. I love y'all, New Bethlehem. I love my church family. God is awesome. I want to say that I've been on my job again 1 year. 1 year. And I get to work from my own in 2024. God is good. God is good. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding. Because I didn't want to call my husband pastor, but I want to say, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But I just kept trusting in the Lord. I thank God for my church family that kept praying for me, and my family and my friends. I just want to say, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, no matter whatever it is. I am a living testimony. Never thought I'd be living in Alabama. Never thought I'd have a job in Alabama. But God did. He made a way. And I just thank him for being who he is in my life.
Amen. The Lord will make a way. Come on, there's another. There's another. Listen, if you take care of the Lord's business, he'll take care of yours.
You know, Pastor said this morning, I got a little full church this morning. I was presiding and I lost my words. But I'll tell you why. Back in April, my daughter was on spring break, thank God. And she was in Georgia with my in-laws. I didn't realize that I had asthma till I got over 50 years old. And I was laying in the bed, and it was about my normal time to get up and go to work. So I started hitting my wife, and she was thinking he just getting up to go to work. I said, baby, get up and help me. And when she got up, I was standing in the middle of the floor, church. I couldn't move. I couldn't catch my breath. She was running all over the house looking for my asthma medicine. And I told her, I said, baby, I love you. I'm getting ready to leave you. She was so busy trying to help me, she didn't even hear what I said. And I said, Lord, if it's my time to go, take care of my family. And all of a sudden, the voice said, go in the kitchen and stick your head up under the sink. I turned the cold water on and just stood there with my head up under the sink. Everything went down. She called 911. I told her, forget it. I'm going to work. I got in my old truck, and I drove to work. Started doing my job. I drive trucks. One of my workers came around, and he said the only thing he knew I was leaned over, leaned up against the trailer. Now, he was getting ready to leave. I'm going to show you how the Lord worked. He was getting ready to leave, and wasn't nobody on the yard but me and him. He called the paramedics. They said, oh, you fine. I went back home. Got back in the truck and drove 30 miles back home. And I was sitting in the chair. And my wife had left. I couldn't breathe. I said, Lord, I got to get to the hospital. I got in the old truck because I was scared to drive one of the new cars. I got in the old truck and I got down to the hospital. And church, they gave me breathing treatment so bad, so long, my wife came to see about me. I was doing like this. I was just shaking. My whole body was shaking. She asked the man, what's wrong with my husband? He didn't answer. She asked him again. He said, we gave him so many breathing treatments that it's got him jittery. They sent me to the hospital, and I'm laying there in the bed. And I said, Lord, now I've never been in a hospital in my life. I said, Lord, I don't want to stay here. My wife came to see me that evening, and I told her and the doctor, I don't care what y'all say, I'm going home tomorrow. Doctor said, you won't leave here tomorrow. I said, I'm going home tomorrow. The next day she got up, she said, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to you over the night, but I'm going to send you home today. Trust in the Lord. No matter how dark it seems to you, trust in the Lord.
Come on, come on. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand and clap of praise. Amen. Amen.
New Bethlehem is not my home church, but it's my second church. Pastor, thank you. I can't praise God enough. I just can't praise Him enough. This past week, I actually had the luxury of having my son and my grandson at home with me. Back up. I lost my mom September the 1st, 2022. 89 days later, I lost my brother. In between that, my son had his first son who's special needs now. He was born without oxygen.
He's done everything that man said that he could not do. Everything that man said that he could not do, he's doing. So I was on the Masons meeting one night, and I just kind of expressed myself. I said, you know, without taking care of my mom and my brother anymore, I don't know my place anymore. I don't know my purpose. And during that Mason meeting, Sister Vincent taught that lesson, and oh my gosh, she blessed my soul. She blessed my soul, and while she was talking, I created this shirt while she was talking. And God just let me know that I have purpose in life. And he, I don't care how low you get. I don't care how low you get. He is ever present. Ever present. So fast forward to my son driving back to Louisville last night. He called me. He said, Mom, my tire keep losing air. He's like, I'm just going to keep filling that tire up. I was like, no. I was like, let's figure it out. And I was like, fix a flat or something. But all of a sudden, he was like, no. He called me. He said, Mom, I smell the tire burning. The tire exploded. He had my one-year-old grandson in the back. And automatically he says, Mom, somebody pulling up behind me instantaneously. Instantaneously. You know, people don't stop when you're on the side of the road no more. Instantaneously. He said, somebody pulling up behind me. And I just said, hey, take pictures. I need to know where you are. Immediately I go to my phone and I go in mama mode. I said, I need to know exactly where you are right now. And I can hear the gentleman in the background saying, he said, hey, do you need some help? And he said, well, I got a spare tire, but I don't have no jack. I said, you ain't none of my kids. But Lord, I'm just talking about the goodness of God and what God will do for you when you trust him. With everything, not some things, but everything. Everything, just a little thing. The faith the size of a mustard seed. If you give it to him, he's going to go the extra mile for you. And I just can't thank him enough. I can't thank him. I can't praise him enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on. Amen. Come on. One more. Amen. One more. Glory to God.
How y'all doing? I greet y'all in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to thank the Lord for keeping me. It's been a battle each and every day. But I've been saved ever since 2015. And I thank God for bringing me to this church, because I used to be in darkness. And I thank the Lord for bringing me to his light. I really do. Y'all a good church, and y'all lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never been to a church like this who continue to keep their faith in their members. They don't look at their members no kind of way. And it's been a battle, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for just keeping me through it. And I just want to say this, his blood still has power.
Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord some praise. You heard testimonies, but look to your right and to your left, and you'll see more testimonies. Nothing but the grace of God has brought us thus far. Amen. 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 You're the last one. Amen.
I'm just glad to be here one more time.
Yeah.
This year has been really rough for me. I've had been down for four times. The last time I had four kidney stones, and I went to the emergency room, and the doctor looked at me. He said, "How long have you been hurting, young lady?" I said, "About a couple of weeks." He said, "Well, you got kidney stones." He said, "But two are passing. One is a 5 milligram. It won't pass." He said, "You're going to have surgery." So they sent me to a specialist in Birmingham, and the doctor told me, he said, "I can't operate on you right now, Miss Levin. Do you know you got a septic infection?" And he said, "If I operate on you now, it'll bust. That blood will get in your bloodstream, and you'll be out of here." He said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an antibiotic for 2 weeks, and it's going to hurt, it's going to bother you, but this is your only chance." So he gave me an antibiotic, the worst antibiotic I ever had in my life. I could not drink. I couldn't eat. But my daughter Stephanie, she stood by me. I threw it off. She was calling them back and telling them, "You got to give her something. She can't eat and she can't drink." But through it all, I made it.
Yes, ma'am.
They operated on me and put something in my bladder to keep me flowing for 2 weeks. I was down for 2 weeks, really down. I didn't think I was going to make it. But through it all, I made it. Through God's grace and His mercy, He brought me through it. Yeah. After those 2 weeks, He came to me. My doctor, surgical nurse, she called me. She said, "Miss Levis, we ready to roll." She said, "Go ahead, do what I tell you, and be in here at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to take you in." Well, she told me all these things to do, and Stanton was at work. She told me to go to St. Vincent. And when Stanley came home, she said, "St. Vincent? No, you're supposed to go to Brookwood. That's where you've been doing all your stuff at Brookwood." She called him up. She gave him, you know what. She said, "She's not going to St. Vincent. She's going to Brookwood, where she started all this at." They called her back in about 5 or 10 minutes. She said, "Miss Burns, tell your mother to go on to Brookwood. We got a schedule. 6 o'clock in the morning." I went in at 6 o'clock, and all of a sudden, all my children were standing around me looking at me. I said, "I must be dead." Everybody looking at me. And my oldest son, Miss Christopher, he said, "Mama, you're not dead. We them give you some kind of crazy medicine. That's what's wrong with you." And then he looked up, he said, "Here come the blue boys." And then my doctor came in. He said, "How you doing, Miss Levin?" I said, "I'm all right." I said, "I got a bracelet on my arm that says God is bigger than anything."
Yeah.
I said, "And the nurses keep telling me, take that off. You can't go to surgery with that on." He looked at his surgical nurse. He said, "Why are you telling her that? She's fine." She said, "Okay, Miss Levin, let us pray." When you got somebody, a doctor, to tell you, "Let us pray, you're going to be fine." And when I woke up, I looked up and Stephen was standing there. I said, "Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Lord. I just want to let everybody know that God is good all the time. You can call on Him when you can't call on nobody else. Without the Lord and Stephen, I wouldn't be here." She's a good girl, and she takes care of me well. Thank you.
Amen. Stand where you are. Come on, stand where you are. Moment of reflection. God has brought us to the last evening, the last night of 2023. Psalm 2023 has been a challenging year. In a year of chaos, year of heaviness, year of trial, year of trouble, a year of losing awareness, losing focus. Because of all you had to endure in 2023, post-pandemic, God has allowed us to come back together in person worship. He has fixed it where we could take off masks and know one another. Not just from the bridge of the nose up, but fully in terms of the face. Sickness has hit some of us. We started the year spruce and spry. We had the limp, had the skip, had the hop. But some way between the skips, hips, and the hops, we had fortitude to praise God. Loved ones have passed away, and we are here, young and old. I want to tell you that it's not by coincidence that we're here. It's not because you've been so careful and obedient. You've been so good and right. But by the grace of God. You can't shout over anything else. You ought to shout over grace. But as we leave 2023 and make ready to enter 2024, there's some things we need to let go of. Thought about Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. He speaks of his life and how he had before him a mark of a high call. Don't ever lose perspective of the mark of the high call. That there's a truth of life that as we measure the progress of life, there's a truth of life. The first thing is, the truth is, there's a truth about our past. Forgetting those things which are behind. Because the things behind, whether it be success or failure, can hinder you in your present and future. You're so focused on what you have accomplished in the past that you decide to coast the rest of your life out. And there's no reaching. You have to know the truth about your past. Your past is your past. But then you have to know the truth about your present. That you refuse to live your life in the past. The truth is all you have is now. That's why the Bible says now faith. Now salvation. Because it's not past faith. Past salvation. You always live in the now. That there's a truth about our present. But then Paul said there's a truth about our future. How can I be a better Christian? How can I be a better brother? For some, a better sister. How can I be a better church member? A better Sunday school teacher? A better Bible study teacher? How can I be a better attendee? How can I be a better neighbor? How can I be a better co-worker? Paul says there has to be a constant reaching. reaching toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you dare leave out of 2023 thinking you don't need God. Don't you dare think you don't need the Lord Jesus Christ, because where you are, he brought you. What you have, he gave it to you. What you know, he taught you. All you are is because of the Lord. We have heard over and over tonight, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As you are casting your 2023 cares upon the Lord, know that he cares for you. If you don't cast the cares, there's an enemy, an adversary. It is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Which you won't turn over to the Lord, he'll use to discourage, disparage, defeat, and destroy. That's why the invitation is incessant. It is not just a one-time appeal unto us, but God over and over and over again appeals to us. Bring your cares to me. Bring your cares to me when you are extremely burdened and extremely wearied, and I give you rest. Father, thank you for rest of soul. The trichotomy of man, it consists of his mind, his emotions, and will. We need rest within. Lord, that 2024 would be a year of peace that surpasses all understanding. That 2024 be a year, Lord, of victory, a year of triumph, Lord, a year of success, and a year to prosper. Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Lord, I'm mindful of Paul and 2 Corinthians 12, where you allowed a thorn to be thrust into his side. Because it's only with the thorn he discovered the sufficiency of your grace and your power and might. Touch now in the name of Jesus your people, Lord, under the sound of my voice, all who's watching virtually. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give them all they stand in need of to be marquees and signboards as they go hither and thither. Lord, others will see you at work. Know that they are full of your Holy Spirit. And know that your grace rests upon them as they go. Here and there, people will say, there goes the grace of God. Keep us safe. Lord, in our worship, keep us safe in our work. Keep us safe in our witness. But Lord, all that we have to endure for your name's sake, we count it a blessing and an honor. To suffer for your name's sake. As you extend and Exalt us in ministry, Father. We pray that you get all the glory. That as we set ourselves to minister to the less fortunate and to those who are, Lord, on Wall Street or whatever street they're on, have and have not. Be with us. Grow us and groom us. Groom us and grow us in Jesus' name. We pray for all ministers across the land and country. We pray, Lord, for churches of Christ all over the world. That the kingdom suffers violence, but violence taketh it by force. That the kingdom of God cannot be stopped by the fickle efforts of man. Give us a holy boldness to stand for you. Give us clarity, course in our preaching and in our teaching. That sinner boys and girls, men and women, will hear your word and come running. What must I do to be saved? Open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors that no man can open, in Jesus' name. And every heart say, amen. 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 Missionary Union is coming to lead us in song and praise. Come on, give them a hand as they come.
Close like no other. know you at the Father's hand. I know you at the friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Just create.
In the building. Thank God for the preacher tonight, the person of Reverend Charlotte Mark Simpson. He started preaching under me at Joseph Creek. And every good leader, every good pastor wants those under him to go further. And certainly, Reverend Charlotte Mark Simpson has done that. He's a preacher par excellence. He's a student of the Word of God. He has matriculated at several schools. He has earned 7 degrees, and he's working on his PhD now at Liberty University. But he's a preacher. He can walk with kings and dine with peasants. He has a common touch. He's a preacher. He's pastor of First Baptist Cedar Bluff in Cedar Bluff, Mississippi, also pastor of Missionary Union in Columbus, Mississippi. I'm proud to call him a friend and a brother, brother-in-law. He's married to my sister, Pamela, and she's here, and certainly I thank God for his presence. I told you didn't want to go into 2024 without hearing Reverend Charlotte Mark Simpson, and you're here tonight. You won't be disappointed. I ask that you receive the preacher. I just calling his name, Reverend Charlotte Mark Simpson. Amen. You can't tell him to preach because God has called him to preach. He will do that after our choir would have sung two songs. The next voice you will hear is that of our preacher in the person of Reverend Charlotte Mark Simpson. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord for the preacher.
Brought me, yeah. From my mighty Lord. our God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than
y'all say that tonight? Say, tell them, I love
you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything.
Yeah. Can we say it one more time?
Come on, let the
people praise. Sing
it. I love you, Jesus.
Come on, tell them. I worship.
I worship and adore you.
Just want
to tell you that I love you more than anything.
One more time.
I love Jesus.
Come on, lift your hands and tell them, I worship you.
I worship and adore you.
Just want to tell you. Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
Just want to tell.
my job, more than my house, more than my car. Lord, I love you.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you for bringing us all the way to 2023.
Gracious God, our Father, we come before your throne of grace to say thank you. God, we love you more than anything. God, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your kindness. God, we thank you for your gentleness and your generosity. But God, there's no one like you. God, we come at this last day of this year, God, we just want to say thank you. God, we thank you for bringing us through. God, we thank you for your grace that's truly sufficient and your strength that's made perfect in weakness. God, is at this moment that we ask for forgiveness of all sin and shortcomings. We ask that you created us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us. And God, is at this moment that I pray what I always pray. And as that you grant me the ability to complete this task. Bless me with the authority to teach and proclaim your word. And the anointing that's designed to destroy every yoke in this place. Take my mind and think through it. Take my tongue and speak through it. And take this little heart of mine and set it on fire. And I'll be careful to give you all of the praise, honor, and glory. In your son Jesus' name, we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Come on, let's give God amen. And clap of praise. He's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Indeed, it's a blessing and a joy to be here on tonight. I thank God, amen, for Pastor Rogers, amen, your pastor. Come on, let's bless God for the angel of this house. Amen. I can stand up here all night and tell you a lot of great things about your pastor, but I do know that you already know that he's a preaching preacher, amen, and we just thank God for him, amen. He has been kind to us as preachers and pastors, and I just want to publicly tell them thank you for all of the things that you have done in my life. God has used them in multiple ways to help me in this ministry. And so thank you so much. It's a blessing to be here on this night. It's good to be back at New Bethlehem. Amen. God has done it again. Amen. Woke us up and started us on our way. And so it's a blessing to be here. And then to the legendary Dr. Walker. Amen. Pastor Emeritus, we thank God so much for him. It's also a blessing to see my other brother-in-law, Pastor Rogers, and then to all of these preachers and pastors that share the pulpit with us on today. Let's bless God for all of these preachers. Amen. First Lady Rogers, First Lady Rogers, and then to my wife, God bless you. We thank God so much for you on tonight. Let's bless God for these choirs. Amen. And MU, amen, praise team. I tell you, I thank God so much for you all on tonight. Amen. They told me a long time ago, it's a poor puppet that won't wag his own tail. Amen. And I'm just so excited and happy. Thank you all for coming out and sacrificing and driving way over here to see me and to worship with us on tonight. You didn't have to do it, but I'm glad that you did it, and we praise God for you. There's a word from the Lord on tonight. The pressure has already been placed upon me, and the lights are bright. Amen. There's a word from the Lord on tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Joshua. If you have your cell phones, gadgets, you got an app on it, click on your app and go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'll be reading out of the ESV translation of God's holy word. We thank God for all of the officers of this church and each and every one of you, my brothers and sisters, that's present on tonight. Indeed, it's a joy to be alive. It's good to see all of you on tonight. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. And I'll be reading out of the ESV translation of God's holy word. When you have found it, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. And it reads as follows. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. The word of God for the people of God, God's word is blessed. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, catch it, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, now I need you to arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people. I need you to take my people to the land that I'm giving them. Joshua, I need you to understand that Moses, my servant, is dead. For a few minutes on tonight, we want to talk, teach, and preach from this subject, transitioning triumphantly with the truth. Transitioning triumphantly with the truth. As a person approaches and attempts to construct the principalizing bridge of interpretation as it pertains to the scripture, there are several vital steps that a person must consider. Indeed, there is the actual text that one must grasp. Differences between the biblical audience. Theological principles that must be joined. The makeup of the entire canon of Scripture. And the application of the truth abstracted from the passage. It is to say that God's Word can only mean what it was originally meant. Therefore, the preacher's job is to find the meaning attached to that particular text theme and sufficiently explain it to the people of God. So, I must be as precise as a surgeon, thorough as a lawyer, as detailed as a chemist, possess skills like an engineer, read like a bibliophile, have a keen awareness like a pilot, and connect words and sentences like a poet. Biblical preaching is declaring to the people of God that I have nothing better to say than what the scripture discloses. So the question becomes, what is the meaning of the book of Joshua? J. Gordon McConville wrote, "The book of Joshua is the memorable story of how a people crosses a river and becomes a nation in a land that is called by its own name." The crossing of a river is a potent image of decisive progress and new opportunity. So as we prepare to cross this invisible river that separates the year we currently reside in and the year that we are fixing to embark into, let us be mindful of the opportunities that await us. Still, my brothers and my sisters, there are a few facts that we must consider before crossing. Note that no one in this pulpit can classify as Joshua. We are not positioned on the outskirts of Jericho. You all are not the nation of Israel. Your enemies are not the Canaanites. And the physical promised land is not before us to retrieve. However, the Lord is still God. Challenges are still before us. Enemies are still realities. Death still resides on our blocks. Spiritual leadership is still necessary. And the Lord's mandate has not changed. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Richard S. Hiss wrote, Joshua 1:1, it joins the book with the events narrated at the end of Deuteronomy, So tonight, my brothers and my sisters, let us consider several helpful facts that will aid us as believers in this walk of faith, as we transition triumphantly with the truth. If you don't mind tonight, let me just walk back down the road or the streets of these scriptures and share with you all a few points that I picked up from the scriptural sidewalk. First, there is the speaking of the Lord. After a significant leader's death, the speaking of the Lord. After a significant leader's death, the speaking of the Lord. You may want to write this down, the speaking of the Lord. After a significant leader's death, the Lord speaking alone is better than a breath of fresh air to a collapsing lung. Therefore, this should probe a person to carefully examine the content of the Lord's words. Notice that God only spoke to Joshua after Moses' death. He didn't speak to Joshua before Moses died. He only spoke to Joshua after Moses' death. It indicates that God is not speaking to everybody, every person in the congregation about the blueprint of his assembly. It's one anointed leader at a time. Also, when looking at this tonight, a person can detect Joshua's qualifications and his character trait. When looking at Brother Joshua tonight, one will discover that Joshua, he was both a son and a servant. I need you to catch this tonight. He was a son and a servant. Joshua, he was a son and a servant. Joshua was the chief assistant to Moses. Moses, the authoritative figure. Frank DiMaggio wrote, in the Old Testament, a genuine leader of God's people was a servant of God and the people of God. When looking at Joshua tonight, Joshua, he classifies as a servant leader. And before leading the people of Israel, Joshua, he lived a life of service under the profound leadership of Moses. I stop by to tell us on tonight that a good assistant listens to the spiritual leader with intentional obedience. When looking at this tonight, we hear the speaking of the Lord. The speaking of the Lord to Joshua after a significant leader's death. Now, when you look at this, you got to also pay attention to the content. When you hear the speaking of the Lord, pay attention to the content. But as you pay attention to the content, you got to also pay attention to the context. Because if you're going to get God's word right in communication, the context and the content must align if you're going to communicate God's word correctly. So you got to look at the content. The content align with the context. I can hear J. Scott DeVale saying that context determines words' meaning. And so first, my brothers and sisters, there's the speaking of the Lord after a significant leader's death. But then second, the clarity that the Lord provides to the new leader. The clarity that the Lord provides to the new leader. The content of the Lord's words discloses to Joshua that Moses, the Lord's servant, is dead.
content. Content and context. When looking at the content, God says to Joshua, Moses, the Lord's servant, is dead. The statement, it links the book of Joshua with the outcome of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses, the Lord's servant, is dead. It connects us with Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's an interesting chapter. Now, when you look at the content of Deuteronomy chapter 34, you got to remember the context. In verses 5 and 6 in particular, we will see how it connects, how it joins. But as we look at the context, we must back up to verse number 1 in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse number 1. It's in that particular verse that God, he gives Moses some specific instructions. He tells Moses to go up a particular mountain. The mountain is named Mount Nebo. He said, Moses, go up Mount Nebo, and when you get to the top of Mount Nebo in the area of Pisgah that's opposite of Jericho, you can look out and see the promised land. But Moses, I'm not going to allow you to enter the promised land as a mere man because you disobeyed my instructions. I know somebody here been reading their Bible and you say, wait a minute, preacher. Didn't Moses enter the promised land in Matthew chapter 17 on the mountain of transfiguration? And I gotta say to you, yes. Yes, he was up there with Jesus. He was up there with Elijah and they were sitting down talking. You remember when God, he stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere and he pulled back flesh and he showed us his glory. It was on this mountain and we see Moses on the mountain. But when we see Moses up there on the mountain, Moses is in his glorified body. God told Moses, you will never enter the promised land as a mere man because you disobeyed my instructions. What I'm really trying to point you to is verse number 5, because in verse number 5 in Deuteronomy chapter 34, the Bible says that God calls Moses to die. Moses, he dies. But it's in verse number 6, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse number 6, the Bible tells us that God took Moses and he buried Moses in the valley of Moab. Now, it's an unmarked grave. Nobody know where God buried Moses, but the valley of Moab, it sits opposite of Beth PR. When we look at this today, we see that Moses is dead. Not only is Moses dead, but Moses is buried. The content of the Lord words discloses to Joshua that Moses, the Lord's servant, is dead. The statement links the book of Joshua with the outcome of Deuteronomy chapter 34. The Lord's expression to Joshua, it highlights a transition or a change moment. It's a transition and a change. Notice that the Lord is still God, but Israel's leadership changes from Moses to Joshua. That's a transition. For the past 40 years, Moses had been the constant and consistent leader of the Israelites. Interestingly, God's servant is dead, but the Lord's agenda was still vibrant and progressive. I said, the Lord's servant is dead, but God's agenda is still vibrant and progressive. The Lord's servant dead,
But God's agenda is still moving on. The good news, my brothers and sisters, is this, that even when a person dies, it does not stop God's agenda. So this is not something that Joshua alone had to understand, but the people Joshua was to lead also had to comprehend this concept as well. What is it, preacher? Moses, the Lord's servant, is dead. Moses. You remember him, don't you? The charismatic chosen deliverer, prophet, priest, orator, and wise man of Israel in the Old Testament. Dead. Moses, the one who talked with God face to face. You see it in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse number 10. He's dead. Still, the text reveals to us that Moses is the servant of God. Now, that's a good thing, to be the servant of God. Because when all of this is over, I want to hear him say, "Servant, well done. You have been faithful over a few things. Come on up and I'll make you ruler over many." Look at this today. The servant of the Lord is dead. He was a servant, but he's dead. Talked to God face to face, but he's dead. He was a wise man, but he's dead. An orator, but he's dead. A priest, but he's dead. A prophet, but he's dead. A deliverer, but he's dead. When looking at this, God, he did some wonderful things through Moses, but Moses is dead. You remember that God, he put Pharaoh in check through Moses, but Moses is dead. God, he delivered the people of Israel out of bondage through Moses, but Moses is dead. God, he opened up the Red Sea and allowed the people of Israel to go through on dry ground, but Moses is dead. When they got to the other side, God, he worked through this same Moses and told Moses to close up the Red Sea. And when the Red Sea closed, it drowned the Egyptian soldiers while it canceled out Israel's debt simultaneously. But Moses, he is dead. I stopped by to tell somebody tonight that listen, what transpired on yesterday, what transpired on last week, what transpired on last month, last year, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, etc. I stopped by to tell somebody, listen, you gotta move on with that. It's gone now. Consider it dead. Joshua, Moses, my servant, he's dead. In Hebrew, there are two consecutive cal imperatives that highlight an unnuanced action while conjugating a direct command. You got to catch this in verse number 2. The Lord said to Joshua, he says, "Arise." It's the Hebrew word kum. It means to stand. It means to stand up. He says, "Joshua, stand. I need you to stand up." But now notice that it's an imperative. That means it's not a suggestion. He was commanding Joshua to stand up. But then he gives Joshua another command in the same verse, and is found in the phrase, "Go over." This word "go over" in Hebrew, it means to go one's way. It means to pass over. It means to pass by, go through, or overstep. God said, "Joshua, stand up." But now, not only do I need you to stand up, I need you to go through. I need you to pass by. I need you to overstep. And then he tells Joshua what he's to pass by, what he's to go through. He says, "Go through this joint." this Jordan. And then he says, and take this people with you into the land that I am giving you. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell you this. To faithfully follow the person that the Lord is guiding will get you to your destiny. I said to faithfully follow the person that the Lord is guiding will get you to your destiny. He says, Joshua, I need you to stand up and I need you to go through. But as you go through, you take them through. Take them through this Jordan and go to the land that I am giving them. We see the clarity that the Lord provides to the new leader. We see in the text, the speaking of the Lord after a significant leader's death. Then we see the clarity that the Lord provides to a new leader. But then finally, my brothers and sisters, we see the blessing that the Lord attaches to the leader's faithfulness. The blessing that the Lord attaches to the leader's faithfulness. Brian Chappelle stated, the goal of preaching is not merely to impart information. You stand up here just to impart information, you're missing the goal. It's not just to impart information, but it's to provide the means of transformation. Not just information, but transformation ordained by a sovereign God that will affect the lives and destinies of eternal souls committed to spiritual care. It is essential, my brothers and sisters, to listen to the instructions of the Lord. Because God would tell you when, he would tell you where, and he would tell you how to go. Joshua, arise. Get up from where you are from. And I need you to go through this Jordan and take my people with you. Because I got some land that I want to give to my people. My brothers and my sisters, it is essential to listen to the instructions of the Lord. Because God will tell you when, where, and how to go. Notice the demonstrative terminology that the Hebrew language provides. It is captured in the English word this. This. This word demonstrative, it points to the one that's referred. But more so than that, it distinguishes the one that is preferred from others in the same place. He says this two times in verse number one in Joshua chapter one. Verse number two in Joshua chapter one. He says, arise and go over this joint. Catch the word this. This joint. He's not talking about any river. He's talking about a particular river. He says, it's the Jordan River. The Jordan River, I need you to cross. And then he says, when you cross this river, he says, take with you this people. This people, this river, into the land that I am giving them. The land, my brothers and sisters, is a gift. It's a gift, but there's a twofold aspect of God's blessing in this gift. His role, God promised the land, but people must take it for themselves. They must fight in accordance with God's explicit direction. And their allotment of the land must follow God's guidance. In conclusion, the text is tailored to teach us on tonight that as we transition triumphantly with the truth, there are blessings ahead of us. But we will only receive these blessings by faithfully following the Lord's instruction. So as Joshua steps matter, That's not about to tell us tonight that futuristically, our steps as Christians, they matter as well. Because God has not changed. The book of Joshua, it tells a fascinating story about God's faithfulness and Israel's failure. The name Joshua, by the way, it means the Lord is salvation. Did y'all catch that tonight? The Lord, He is salvation. The Lord is salvation. The Hebrew term for Joshua, Yehoshua, is the Greek equivalent of the name Jesus, Jesus. Did y'all catch that tonight? I said, Joshua, he really brought us to Jesus. Because Jesus is really the ultimate Savior. As we transition with the truth. I got hung up on that word truth. Because I heard Jesus use that word before, truth. When he said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, he says, I am the way. Stop right there at the word way. The word way in Greek is hades. And this word hades, it means path or route. I need to tell you tonight, if you go pick a path, if you go pick a route, you need to pick Jesus's route. He says, I am the hottest. But then he says, not only am I the hottest, meaning way, he says, I am the truth. This word truth is aletheia. It means unveiled reality. Jesus says, not only am I the way, the route, but I'm unveiled reality. And then he goes on to say, and I am the life. This word life, it means zoe in Greek. This word zoe, it means the opposite of death. Everything that death will give you, Jesus says, I will give you the opposite. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's time to shout, because I said that Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. Now, this is a good thing tonight, because the truth is actually a person. And this person, he's God. Come here, John. John says in John chapter 1, verse number 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But he didn't stop there. John kept on writing in John chapter 1, verse number 14. John said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. And let him go that word again, truth. I thank God that Jesus, He is the truth. Do you thank God that Jesus is the truth? But more so than that, you got to look at the truth tonight, because in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23, Matthew tells us that the truth is with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23, Jesus is called Emmanuel. Emmanuel is translated, God is with us. But before he said, God is with us, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, he tells us how far the truth came down for you and little old me. He says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1, he says, this is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He says, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Thamar. Phares begot Hezron. Hezron begot Aram. Aram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Naasson. Naasson begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot
begot Solomon. Her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abiah. Abiah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Ozias. Ozias begot Joatham. Joatham begot Achaz. Achaz begot Ezekiah. Ezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away into Babylon. Now, after they were brought into Babylon, Jeconiah begot Salathiel. Salathiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiah. Abiah begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Sadok. Sadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eli. Eli begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who is called, yes, she's the one who birthed Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Is there anybody in this house tonight that can celebrate the truth? In verse number 17, it says, and all of the generations from Abraham to David. Can somebody shout 14 generations? And from David into the carrying away into Babylon. Can somebody shout 14 generations? And from the carrying away unto Babylon, unto Christ. Can somebody shout 14 generations? Now, I'm no mathematic major, and I'm not working on a PhD in math, but I do believe that 14 plus 14 plus 14, it'll give you 40, 42. The truth came down, 42 generations. He stepped off his plane at Bethlehem. They called him Emmanuel. Anybody know him tonight? The Lord, he is. He's with us. Can I tell you what the truth said? He said it in John chapter 2, around verse number 19. He said, if you destroy this body, give me 3 days and I'll bring it back again. Then the truth said in John chapter 3, around the 14th verse and the 15th verse, he said, and as Moses was lifted in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I gotta go now, but can I tell you what the truth did? He died. Good God Almighty. He died. Good God Almighty. He died. Yes, he did, but he didn't stay dead. He was dead all night Friday night. He was dead all day Saturday. He was dead all night Saturday night. But can somebody, anybody, how about everybody, stand to your feet and help me celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, because early one Sunday morning, he got up with, good God Almighty, with, good God Almighty, with, all power.
Amen. Everyone to your feet. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today or tonight and you are not saved, the first invitation is for you. You can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God sent him to save. And by you believing and confessing, you receive salvation tonight. Come. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem or any church on your heart, come. You need a faith family. You need a church family like a baby need parents. Come. Thirdly, if you're here, need to be restored, the altar is open unto you. This is a place of exchange. We're in 2024. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in 2024. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel good too. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I feel good. I'm glad. Come on, look at him and tell him, I'm glad. I'm sure enough glad and happy that I made it to another year. Amen. Come on, praise him like you're glad. Bless him like you're glad. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Listen, we made it. The Lord has blessed us. Listen, there's a lot of work to do. Listen, what I discovered, the reward for labor is more labor. Don't expect to do the same thing in 2024 that you did in 2023. Don't expect to be on the same level you own in 2023 and 2024. You need to just tell somebody, I'm going to a whole nother level. And you thought you saw something in me in 2023. I'm gonna sure enough do it for the Lord in 2024. If my faithfulness upsets you in 2023, you just watch me in 2024. I'm going to a whole nother level. Hallelujah. I'm going to do more for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Listen, grab your purses, grab your wallets or whatever you have on the pew and come this way. We leave from the altar. Come this way. Come this way. Cast your cares. Lay aside every weight that's so easily beset. All right. All right. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a prayer. thank you.
Just so.
I want to find rest beyond river. Come on, let me hear you say, in the cross. In
the cross. because without prayer, I'll lose consciousness and focus. He loves to hear you just admit you're nothing without Him. Lord, I'm going into 2024 leaning and depending on You. You're my bridge over troubled water. You're my way out of no way. As old Deacon said in Mississippi, Lord, you are my walking cane. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, you're my sameness. You keep me settled. You're my strength. You're my shelter in the times of storm. He loves to hear you brag on him. Lord, you're the light on my path and the lamp on my feet. You're my compass. You're my navigation. Lead me, Lord. Not only let Lord fix me, there's some things about me that's not like you. Lord, I've been holding on to bitterness. And I need to let it go. I have not forgiven as I should have. And I need to forgive. Lord, I don't even pray like I need to pray. I assume the goodness of my day. Touch the Lord in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father. Be more like your son, Jesus. Lord, the public and private sins of our lives, help us. Forgive us. Remove lustful desire. Evil and revengeful thoughts from us. In Jesus' name. Give us love, Lord, where there's hate. Lord, make us sensitive and soft. Lord, and spiritually lead us to recognize needs that exist around us. Even in the lives of those who are near and dear us. Sometimes we overlook hurt in the home. Help us to see hurt in our home when our children are hurting. When our spouses are hurting. Lord, help us to recognize hurt in our neighborhood. When there's something going on with our neighbors. And you called us to be light. Help us to shine bright, Lord, before our neighbors who may be in darkness. Lord, abuse. Molestation. All kinds of wicked and evilness of the enemy. That's running rampant in our neighborhoods and our communities. Lord, help us to extinguish the flames of sin, that sin do not destroy our community. And then, Father, we don't leave the church out because you said judgment begins in the house of God. Help us to stop playing. Stop playing church. Help us, Father, to be real. Help us, Lord, to serve you with our whole heart and with all our strength and might in Jesus' name. Help us be better in 2024. Every year you give us is a year less we have to live. That there's a birth date, a death date, and a dash in the middle. Help us to serve you, Lord, while it is day. that night is coming when no man will be able to work. Thank you, Lord, for these your people. Thank you for the partnership of these your people. That together, Lord, we're making an indelible impact upon the Bessemer community. I believe it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, that we will turn this thing right side up for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Heal, deliver, and set free. Provide, protect, and empower. In Jesus' name. And every heart say amen. Amen. Listen, be blessed. Thank you. Thank you. Be blessed. Be blessed. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with us henceforth and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Come on, be blessed. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, brother and sister. Yes, sir. Happy New Year, sir. Happy New Year. Yes, sir. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.